What I remember most was how it told me some things about my mother's death that I didn't know. I confirmed these details later as soon as I turned 18 and was able to access the police records from the investigation. A really big thanks to our Reddit contributors for tonight. Nixplosion, Toddly Marks, The Chaff, and Street Snipes. I also want to give a big shout out to a couple of awesome listeners who left 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts recently. MMGates87, thank you so much for your review. I appreciate it. And MistyLH97. Hi, Misty. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so glad you're enjoying the podcast. And thank you both for taking the time to support us. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This event took place a few years ago, but I remember it as if it were happening right now. I live in southeast Pennsylvania in the U.S., and local lore tells of a road thought to be more or less haunted, or better said, inhabited. Stories tell of a satanic cult that raises spirits and the like at a church hidden in the woods near the road, and of a crazed family. Some say the DuPont family, or of another unnamed family, that has lived there for generations. Locals call the area Satanville. Though, as you can imagine, this is not the area's true town name. No matter who lives there, one unifying element exists in all accounts. If you go there, a vehicle will appear and chase you out or run you off the road. It will do this and then disappear. Sort of a pick your poison type of thing. Whatever you choose to believe in, something is there. The stories also mention that if you slow down and roll your windows down, you can hear whispers and footsteps just off the road, just behind the trees, and that the trees themselves are afraid of the road and will grow leaning away from it. There is also one particular tree that grows out of the side of a small hill, and the roots take the shape of a skull. I tell you all of this as a sort of scene setting to save you the time of having to look it all up for yourself. The following is the account of my trip to this place. It was a warm October night, and me, my girlfriend, and 3 of our friends all decided we heard enough about this Satanville and wanted to see for ourselves what it was all about. So we piled into our friend's Suzuki 4-door and left. The road is hard enough to find because on both ends the signs reading Cossert Road have been removed. That's the road's true name, due to presumably people like us going there where people like us are not wanted. We took the hard right onto the road between 2 stone pillars and overgrowth and proceeded slowly down the road, taking in all the creepy sights. Immediately we noticed our cell phones dropped service. No bars, no G's, no anything. That was unsettling, but hey, sometimes that happens. But all of our phones did this, and we had with us all 3 major carriers. We found that the trees do indeed lean away from the road, and there are road signs with "Go away" and "Keep out" sprayed on them. One says 666, but I chalked that up to plain old silly vandalism. We slowed to a near stop and rolled down the windows to hear the whispers and footsteps. Of course, this story wouldn't be interesting if we didn't hear them. And we did. Not so much whispers as the wind itself coming through the trees, whipping the dead leaves on the ground to make it sound like hushed consonants being muttered. However, we did hear what sounded like footsteps. Perhaps it was a deer rustling away from the road. This is Pennsylvania, after all, and deer are everywhere, so why not a back road in the woods? We made it to the other end of the road in no particular hurry. We went very slow. We decided to take our chances and head back through the other way. We turned around and got ourselves situated and prepared to turn back in. That's when it appeared. A two-door Chevy Cavalier. The reason I told you how slow we went was to illustrate that no other cars were on the road with us and we would have seen lights or heard another car coming. Yet this car appeared from the road behind us, seemingly mere seconds after we did. It's not a terribly imposing vehicle, except for the million candle power brights it had and the otherworldly roar of its engine. I know what a crappy muffler sounds like, and this was not it. This car had work done on it to make it quick and powerful. It stopped facing the road perpendicular to us so our light beams were crossed. It revved its engine twice and peeled away down the road behind us. We were spooked, but otherwise not affected by it, and laughed it off. That is, until it turned around. It snapped around in a hurry and was about 50 yards back when it began blaring its horn and revving again. My friend Lori, who was driving, screamed,
"Oh my God, they're turning around!"
We all panicked and began yelling and screaming. Lori demanded that I drive. She felt I would do better driving than her because I'm a dude, but frankly, I was just as scared as she was. So I hopped out of the car and we switched places. The car must have seen us do this because with a scream of its tires, it was after us. I took the left back onto the road and in no time this car was on our back with inches to spare. Who or whatever was driving that car had done this before. It made no sign of slowing down around some of the sharper turns and slopes. Whoever this was knew the road well. They were behind us and laying on the horn, and no speed I dared reach on this unfamiliar road would shake them. We reached a wider point in the road and the car passed us. Like a ghost, it seemed almost to pass through the hill next to us because while the road was wider, it wasn't a two cars next to each other type of road. It began to pull away and I remembered the part of the story of these cars where they disappear into the woods. I did my best to keep up, but he pulled further away until I could only catch its taillights around every corner. We reached the end of the road and there it was, parked near the exit facing away from us, lights off, silent. I bravely, well, stupidly, decided to attempt to see inside the vehicle, but the windows were tinted too dark to see in. At this moment, the car sprang to life as if it were some creature disturbed and revved its engine and honked. I floored it out of there and got onto the main road. I don't know who it was that chased us out back then, but I do know someone did not want us there. Some unnamed person lurking in the woods waiting for people like us to drive by, getting a little too big for their britches. Regardless of what chased me, I know for certain that I won't be returning anytime soon to Satanville, Pennsylvania. I've got a few weird experiences from my grandparents' house here in rural Mississippi that I've never been able to explain. To start, I'd like to say that I'm a very objective and logical person. Not bragging, just my own personality that I recognize. If something happens, I generally never let my mind wander to crazy, far-fetched places. The first experience I had was when I was younger, probably 10 or 11. I was watching TV with my grandmother. I call her Mimi. I thought everything was normal until I turned around to look at her. She was staring right through me. Both eyes dilated and glazed over. I asked,
"Mimi?"
And she turned her head unnaturally quickly upward and reached her hand up and said in a slow, soft voice,
"It's so fluffy, soft, airy. Touch it."
And then slowly let her arm down and went right back to watching TV. Obviously, I was in shock and even whimpered a little because I just couldn't understand what just happened. She heard me and asked if I was okay, and I just kept asking her what she meant and why she just did that. But she was just as confused as I was and just tried to calm me down. She didn't remember any of it. She was young for a grandma at the time and never showed any signs of dementia or Alzheimer's since. Nothing at all since that day. She's always been of sound mind. It was summer, and I was 16 during the age before the internet and cell phones, 1988. So boredom was a real thing. My friend B and I were getting into New Age stuff, but apparently crossed the line when we found a leather-bound red book on witchcraft. From it, we learned how to make a magic circle with a knife on my bedroom floor. Then we used the top wood piece from my desk. It slid out as a Ouija board base. We then followed the directions in the book and painted on the numbers and letters with green paint. That was supposed to make a difference. I used watercolors. I'm not stupid. I didn't want to ruin my desk. We used an upside-down plastic margarine container as a planchette for the spirits to move around. We balanced it between us as we sat Indian style in the middle of the circle. We put our fingers on it, one finger from each hand. As soon as we touched it, it started zooming around the board. My friend squealed and took her hands off. I did not, and I know I wasn't pushing it around. So we asked lots of things. What I remember most was how it told me some things about my mother's death that I didn't know. I confirmed these details later as soon as I turned 18 and was able to access the police records from the investigation. We asked a lot of questions about what boys liked us and stupid stuff like that. But I was the only one who would keep touching it. So later, after cleaning up the desk piece and hiding the book, I started to get a really bad headache, and I couldn't hold down any food. I stayed in bed for a week and a half, hardly eating. I lost 15 pounds. The whole time I'm laying in the dark room, I saw, with my mind's eye, a demon crouched on the dresser at the foot of my bed. It looked a lot like a gremlin with glowing red eyes and burned-looking skin. It just grinned at me. Eventually, my dad, a physician, decides I'm dangerously ill and actually need medical treatment, so I get admitted to the hospital. I was terribly weak, dehydrated, and my head had never stopped hurting. After a spinal tap, they told me that I had viral meningitis. I stayed a few days with IVs and such. Because it was a virus, I had to wait it out. I barely lived through it. A few weeks later, I'm back home, but so weak I can't walk across the house without having to rest on the way. I'm constantly hunched over and can't stand straight. The same friend, B, came by and reminded me that weekend was the psychic fair put on by the local New Age store. It would have tarot card readers, various vendors, and such. We'd been planning on going all summer. I warn her we can't stay long because I'm so weak, but she's cool with that, and we go over. As soon as we walk in, a lady screeches,
"Oh my God!"
She rushes over to me, and I get surrounded by the psychic readers and healers. Several are freaking out. The one that screeched tells me I have a demon on my back and proceeds to do an aura cleansing right then. She said to imagine golden bubbles were flowing all over me. Then she took her hand and swept it around me, close to my skin but not touching me. She did this all over, head to floor and all around me, and then I felt claws rip out of my back. All of a sudden, I could stand up straight and I felt completely better. Apparently, she cleansed me in white light. Incidentally, I've imitated her actions with friends later who had bad headaches and their headaches would go away. She didn't ask for money, and I didn't even think about paying her. She and the others seemed pretty shaken up and were aghast when we told them the whole story. Supposedly, what had happened was I opened a channel with no protection or proper guidance, and a dark entity took advantage. I read tarot now, and am very, very careful. I had a year-long experience of strange events that I've never been able to explain or have a full memory of. It started in winter working up north on a project. Our crew was put up in a motel 10 minutes outside of the largest town in the area. I somehow got upgraded to a king-size bed with couches. Nice room. Our days were long, so I used the couches to stack my clothes in piles, jeans, hoodies, etc. I had brought my entire desktop computer with me and was in the middle of a massive argument with my ex over Facebook Messenger at 1 a.m. during the second week up there. At some point, I opened my eyes and I was sitting on top of a pile of hoodies on the couch. The time was now 4 a.m. I rushed over to the computer. At some point after 1 a.m., I had stopped typing a sentence midway through. My ex had left a ton of messages throughout the night demanding I answer her back. She also left missed calls and texts on my phone that was still sitting beside the mouse. I figured I had somehow passed out, but wasn't sure how I ended up on top of my hoodies on the couch and not just fall into the bed. I went to sleep normally for the remaining couple of hours before work. A couple of days later, a stranger scenario happened. My routine was we would finish work. I would come back to the motel around 9 p.m., shower, change, and drive into town for a late night dinner at Boston Pizza. So this particular night, I went through my routine, took a shower, changed, headed for the door. I got to my car, and when I turned it on, something felt really wrong. I looked at the time. It was now 2 a.m. I had no idea how I had lost around 4 hours between showering and getting to my car. It felt weird. My whole body felt weird. I felt violated, like a rape victim might describe waking up from being assaulted while passed out. You feel violated, but you have no idea what happened. Not a single memory or explanation. I stayed up all night, scared to death, trying to figure out what happened. Why was I missing 4 hours? If I had passed out, why didn't I wake up on the floor? Why did I feel violated, etc. The rest of the project, nothing else happened. But once I got back home, things started happening that were just as weird. A few weeks after, I started avoiding sleep when I felt the events coming, and would make a point of staying in highly populated areas at night. These events stopped and have not returned since. I have never actually figured out what happened, but most people I have asked all seem to agree it had to be abduction events. In my research, I also found out the first town where this happened was, and is, a hot spot for UFO activity. Again, a very big thank you to the contributors tonight, Nixplosion, Toddly Marks, The Chaff, and Street Snipes. If you have your own true horror story that you would like to contribute to the podcast, I'd love to read it. You can send it to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. And I would love to interact with you guys on social media as well. I'm on Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio and on Twitter at @society_radio. Thank you so much for listening. Continue to enjoy your Halloween holiday, and I'll see you next week. Until then, stay safe.